going to take some time the rest of this hour trying to understand the happenings in Congress this week over the formation of a bipartisan commission to investigate the January 6th attack on the Capitol. The idea to form a commission in the style of the one that investigated the 9/11 attacks has been fraught since day one. Democrats are in favor, and Republicans are, for the most part, staunchly opposed. But last Friday marked a breakthrough moment when a group of House Democrats and Republicans announced they had reached a deal. This rare kumbaya moment, however, was short-lived. By Tuesday, 4 days later, Republican leader Kevin McCarthy came out against the commission. He spoke to the press later in the week about it.
That's the type of work we want to make sure done, that it never happens again, that those who participated and caused it should be held accountable, and that we secure this Capitol and we don't play politics with it. I just think a Pelosi commission is a lot of politics.
Some saw the move as throwing fellow Republican Representative John Katko under the bus.
I strongly believe this is a fair and necessary legislation. I encourage all members, Republicans and Democrats alike, to put down their swords for once, just for once, and support this bill.
Katko helped negotiate the deal. This pivot may have dashed hopes for a truly bipartisan vote, and Speaker Nancy Pelosi lamented the situation this week.
I don't know. You have to ask them what they're afraid of. You have to ask them, but it sounds like they're afraid of the truth, and that's most unfortunate. But hopefully they'll get used to the idea that the American people want us to find the truth.
And before the bill came up for a vote, the House was filled with passionate debate.
One question encompasses everything. What happened? A truth-telling commission will set the record straight.
The crisis at our border is unlike anything we've ever seen. Democrats would rather spend $2 billion on a wall around this building in D.C.
This bill is not about politics. It's not about settling scores. It's about ensuring that every person who comes onto the Capitol grounds is safe and is protected.
You see, what's going to happen with a January 6th commission is the media is going to use this to smear Trump supporters and President Trump for the next few years.
There's been an active effort to whitewash and rewrite the shameful events of that day to avoid accountability and turn away from difficult truths.
Nevertheless, after hours of speeches and debate, the House voted in favor of the commission.
On this vote, the yeas are 252, the nays are 175. The bill is passed.
Just 35 Republicans voted to support it. In fact, Congressman Greg Pence, brother of former Vice President Mike Pence, voted against the bill. If you remember, some insurrectionists chanted, "Hang Mike Pence," during the attack on the Capitol. Some Democrats were not pleased, to say the least.
Holy cow! Incoherence! No idea what you're talking about. Benghazi, you guys chased the former Secretary of State all over the country, spent millions of dollars. We have people scaling the Capitol, hitting the Capitol Police with lead pipes across the head, and we can't get bipartisanship.
House Democrat Tim Ryan from Ohio.
What else has to happen in this country? Cops! This is a slap in the face to every rank and file cop in the United States. If we're going to take on China, if we're going to rebuild the country, if we're going to reverse climate change, we need two political parties in this country that are both living in reality, and you ain't one of them.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer vowed to bring the bill up for a vote in the Senate.
I will put the January 6th commission legislation on the floor of the Senate for a vote, period. Republicans can let their constituents know, are they on the side of truth? Or do they want to cover up for the insurrectionists and for Donald Trump?
I've made the decision to oppose the House Democrats' slanted and unbalanced proposal for another commission to study the events of January the 6th.
With me now is Tom Kaine, chair of the 9/11 Commission and former New Jersey governor. He's a Republican, for context. Governor Kaine, nice to speak with you again, and welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Good to be with you.
Also here is Nick Fandos, congressional correspondent for the New York Times. Nick, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Thanks for having me.
Governor Kaine, I imagine you've been thinking a lot about your work on the 9/11 Commission as this debate over a possible 1-6 commission moves through Congress. What do you think was so important about the 9/11 Commission and the report that you published, which, by the way, was so widely read it even reached bestseller lists?
Well, you know, it was a unique event in American history. And we didn't know a lot of the answers. And Congress did an investigation because Congress has not got enough staff or enough time, or they get distracted. Whatever. They weren't able to do a complete investigation. And so a lot of people, including the families of 9/11, demanded the facts and demanded something different be done. And so really, due to public pressure at that point, or only due to public pressure, the Congress authorized a bill, the president signed it, and we were set up. And the important thing is, it was truly bipartisan. It was unanimous in its recommendations. It went over all the facts. We made 41 recommendations, most of which were enacted. The whole intelligence system of the country was redone. And we haven't had an attack of that kind or even contemplated an attack of that time since. So it was a successful committee, supported at the end by, I think, 85% and 90% of the American people. So it worked. The bottom line is, if it's an important event, you can do this, and it works.
Given that, Governor Kane, how do you think Congress should proceed in terms of establishing a similar kind of bipartisan commission to look into the January 6th attack?
Well, I think this is an important enough event. You know, the first time something's happened to the Capitol since 1814. So this is important enough. So we need answers that we haven't got right now. How wide was the conspiracy? Who was involved? Was there a conspiracy? Was it just a riot? I mean, what were the facts? I don't think the American people really know that yet. And the way to find it really, and particularly important right now with Congress so polarized, the important things to do is to have an investigation that is credible, that the people accept, that is truly bipartisan. And, you know, once we've done that and found the facts, we can make recommendations so that this kind of thing can never, ever happen again.
So, Governor Kane, you're a former Republican governor of New Jersey. What do you think about the fact that 35 Republicans in the House voted with Democrats in support of this commission, and now Senator McConnell is opposing it? What do you make of that?
Well, I'm very disturbed by it because, you know, Congress, and we got an expert on Congress on your show here, so I shouldn't be saying it, but it looks to me and a lot of the American public is that Congress doesn't work anymore. I mean, they just can't do the really important things anymore, and partisanship and a whole bunch of other stuff gets in the way. And if the Congress isn't going to work, then you've got to find ways to do the most important things without Congress. And that's, I'm afraid, where we are right now. And what Congress is saying, I think, right now, or at least the Republicans, a lot of them are saying, we can't do this anymore, not in a fair way, not in a bipartisan way. We can't really do investigations that are going to be credible with the American people. That's been one of the prime functions of Congress over the years. So if they can't really do this, can't really set up a bipartisan commission, can't agree on that, then I think we got problems in the future for the democracy.
We'll go to our congressional expert, Nick Fandos from the New York Times. What are the chances that the Senate gives a green light to create this January 6th commission?
So I think it's looking increasingly pessimistic after this week that the Senate will come up with 10 Republican votes to join with all 50 Democrats to approve this. There was a brief window of time where it seemed as if it might be possible on Tuesday as House Republicans were coming out against the commission en masse. Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader in the Senate, said he was open to it and willing to hear the arguments. He had, you know, some minor quibbles, but they seemed like things that might be overcome. And we heard, you know, I was talking to a lot of his members who seemed to like this idea, you know, as the governor was saying, take it out of the hands of Congress to an independent body that might be, you know, better trusted and could come to some independent conclusions. But really, literally overnight, Tuesday into Wednesday, McConnell decided he was going to oppose this. And most of his folks seemed to be falling very quickly in line. I mean, it was almost surreal to hear conversations change from Tuesday to Wednesday from some of the same senators who, you know, are now arguing that this is redundant. You know, the Justice Department already has hundreds of criminal prosecutions underway. There's a handful of congressional committees, you know, as they were before the 9/11 commission that was set up, that are doing investigations, albeit far narrower, into what happened. You know, they said that's enough. We don't need to set something else up in addition to that. And in any case, it'll take too long.
What is McConnell's political concern here with this? Why did he change his mind? What were the political reasons for it?
So, yeah, I think the only conclusion, frankly, is political. And, you know, McConnell criticized Trump pretty clearly after the 6th, but he's right. decided, as have other party leaders, that taking time to pause and go back and relitigate and maybe, you know, unearth other disturbing findings from that day are not going to be good for the Republican Party, that it's better to put this event behind them than to really understand what happened, particularly as they're trying to win back control of the House and Senate in 2022. And this kind of commission would easily, you know, leave the control of their grasps and could produce a report right on the kind of eve of that election that they might find, you know, pretty unsavory.
Because it would reflect poorly, perhaps, on the Republican base?
Sure, and on their standard bearer, Donald Trump, and right. on members of Congress who, as you recall, were embraced and fanned, you know, the outrage over the president's lies about what happened in the 2020 election that ultimately fueled this uprising.
Governor Kaine, you mentioned this earlier, but can you tick off some of the most impactful recommendations of the 9/11 Commission?
Yeah, we reorganized one of the largest reorganizations of the American government in our history. We changed the whole intelligence operation to the DNI, Director of National Intelligence, centralized it so that the agencies would have to talk to each other, put a commission together so they met together, an agency together so they met periodically. It was a whole, this is 41 recommendations. And the important thing was that not only were they almost all of them implemented, the only one that wasn't implemented was for the reform of Congress, by the way, but it worked. It simply worked.
It worked because we have not been attacked like that in any way in almost 20 years since the events of 9/11, right?
Yeah, our intelligence has been operating in a successful way because of those recommendations, because it's a total reorganization, and we now force the agencies to talk to each other. I mean, like the CIA and the FBI didn't talk. If they had talked, frankly, some of these conspirators would have been caught. And if they had been caught, we wouldn't have had 9/11. I mean, that's how important it was. And so it worked. That's the bottom line.
Nick, I'm wondering what kinds of conversations are happening on the Hill between Kevin McCarthy, the House Minority Leader, and members of his party who voted with Democrats on this.
Yeah, so as you mentioned at the outset, Matt, I mean, there were 35 Republicans who broke ranks from McCarthy. That was a number that, you know, for this very partisan Congress seemed pretty big. It was still only about, I think, less than a fifth of House Republicans, though. And in that respect, it was a bit embarrassing for Leader McCarthy, who, as you recall, last week led the charge to oust Representative Liz Cheney, his number three. In part over many of these same issues, her refusal to stop going after Donald Trump and members of her own party for the way they're talking about January 6th and the election. And after that, he pledged to unify the party, that Republicans were going to put these divisions behind them and go united towards 2022. Well, this week was kind of a miserable example of that. And so he, at the last minute, I think, spent a lot of time scrambling to try and tamp down support, keep it just to those 35. You know, he said subsequently, you know, obviously it's their prerogative to vote how they want. I think in some cases, you know, a lot of those members are what we call frontline members. They're in competitive districts. And I think he felt if they, you know, judge this to be important for their constituents or for their reelection campaign, go for it. But as long as I keep the numbers, you know, down in the 20s and 30s, and have got McConnell on my side, well, there's no risk that this is going to end up happening. So, you know, I think there's a fair amount of, you know, hand-wringing in his leadership team and, frankly, some, you know, sniping and backbiting from his backbenchers who, you know, saw him, we should also say, deputize a key Republican, John Katko, to go and negotiate this deal. He did on the terms that McCarthy wanted, basically, and then McCarthy kind of hung him out to dry, went against it. So I don't think there's a lot of good feeling, but in the end, I think it's looking like the leader's going to walk away with what he wants, which is no commission.
Yeah, and this now goes to the Senate after passing the House, but it looks, as you said earlier, things don't look good in the Senate. Governor Kaine is a respected, longtime figure in the Republican Party. Have you or would you consider having conversations with members of the Senate to try to get them on board with this commission?
Yeah, if it would be helpful. You know, it's very discouraging to me when it seems it's the greatest sin you can make on Capitol Hill now is to vote your conscience. That didn't used to be. And this has very wide ramifications. For instance, we've got to do something similar on COVID. We got to find out, you know, how it happened, why it happened, what mistakes we made, and set up a group so to make sure when the next pandemic comes along, we do it right. That's very, very important. A group of scholars and former officials are looking at that right now. And you know what their first conclusion is? Congress is incapable of doing it. Congress is incapable of setting up even such a commission. And they're now looking to the private sector and the colleges and so on to set up some kind of a commission that the American people will accept. I mean, this has prime ramifications when the Congress cannot be trusted to set up an independent commission that the world thinks is independent.
It does seem reflective of the way Congress is right now and that just nothing can get done. If they can't approve this, then what can they agree on, right?
Well, that's looking at outside of now. Again, we're talking to an expert on Congress.
Yeah.
So we know a lot more than I do, but it just from somebody who's been around government for a long time, and his father served in Congress for a number of years. My father, and if a 20, I love Congress. I've always respected Congress, but that respect is getting harder and harder to maintain, frankly, by a lot of people like me who are looking at it from the outside, because it doesn't seem to be able to do the most important things that the American people find necessary.
Nick, how are members of Congress doing in terms of dealing with what they lived through just a few months ago? I mean, are they still, you know, feeling the effects of that trauma, the attack on their where they work? They were hiding in their under their desks. I mean, how are they still talking about that?
You know, it's been a fascinating evolution to watch because, you know, if you think about it in terms of, you know, all the senators and members of the House that were there that day lived through this one event together. Maybe they were in different parts of the building and their experience varied slightly, but they lived through one thing. And as time has gone on, I think that the way that they think about that and process that has really started to splinter to the point where, yes, there are most Democrats and a lot of Republicans who feel, you know, what happened that day was chilling and undemocratic and represents, you know, a grave threat to the nation, you know, that shouldn't happen again. But there are also, you know, a growing number of Republicans, particularly in the House we've seen, who and some in the Senate, Senator Ron Johnson, most recently of Wisconsin, who seem to be, you know, rewriting or reframing the narrative of what happened that day, saying this was not an insurrection, saying this was, there was one member of the House who compared it to a, you know, an average tourist visit to the building, wow. Who are now complaining that the Department of Justice is harassing and unfairly treating people who just came to protest peacefully, who they've now arrested or charged in connection to the incident. Now, those cases will play out and those people are innocent until proven guilty. But, you know, it's a pretty stark turnabout, given how much of this was, as we say, A, lived through, you know, in real time and place by many of these members and all played out on live television, too. I mean, there's not a lot of room to escape what some of these images were. And I think that that's part of what's fueling, you know, the disagreement about this commission. And there's one key difference that I wanted to point out from the 9/11 commission. Maybe the governor sees it differently. You know, this is an incident that implicates one political party in a very big way. That 9/11 was an attack from the outside. And here Republicans think they have a lot to lose and Democrats have a lot to gain by continuing to look into it.
Nick Fandos is congressional reporter for The New York Times, and Tom Kaine is the chair of the 9/11 Commission and a former New Jersey Republican governor. Thanks for joining me for this conversation, gentlemen.
Thank you.